I'm grateful today that my daughter is not here. Because I get to talk about her. Which I love to do, and of course she would be morbidly petrified if she were in this space right now. But I like to talk about her and share stories about her, not because I want to embarrass her at all, but because being a parent and raising this youngster has been so incredibly rewarding. If you know her, if you witnessed her, she'll sit kind of quietly in the front and doodle or draw or color. She's done this her whole life. In these 13 years of her life, I've watched her grow physically, yes, and mentally and emotionally into quite the smart, creative young woman. She takes after her mother. She's so creative. And in the mess that is my office, you'll see some of that creativity. Things that she's drawn or little notes that she uses, my post-it notes, and puts them everywhere in my office for me to find in my refrigerator. As I go to make my morning coffee, sometimes there's a little note inside. She's just so expressive and creative. She wants to go into fashion design. And as a parent, I understand that that's a tough industry to get into. And it's so difficult to not want to steer her somewhere else. I fight with myself every once in a while about that. But every time I do, what always wins out are her dreams. I want her to continue to use her imagination with whatever. Because imagination is important for us. It's important for our kids. It's important for us, having been formerly kids at one point in our lives, that we do not lose our imagination. A reflection reading this morning comes from the Gospel of Matthew, chapter 5, verses 1 through 12. When Jesus saw the crowds, he went up the mountain, and after he sat down, his disciples came to him. Then he began to speak and taught them, saying, "Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are those who mourn, for they will be comforted. Blessed are the meek, for they will inherit the earth. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they will be filled. Blessed are the merciful, for they will receive mercy. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they will see God. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they will be called children of God. Blessed are those who are persecuted for righteousness' sake, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are you when people revile you and persecute you and utter all kinds of evil against you falsely on my account. Rejoice and be glad, for your reward is great in heaven. For in the same way they persecuted the prophets who were before you." Would you pray with me? Good and gracious God, breathe into us your spirit, we pray, that these words from my mouth and the meditations of my heart may be wholly acceptable to you and to find a home in the hearts of these, your beloved. In the name of Jesus Christ, amen. So I want to call on your imagination. Imagine the scene, the Sermon on the Mount for a moment. Imagine seeing it through the eyes of Christ. Thousands of people are gathered. And what do we see but a person who almost seems like an introvert? "I'm just going to go up the mountain for a little bit, avoid the crowds." And his disciples come. as if it was intimidating, as if being in that milieu might be too emotionally, physically exhausting. So he moves up the mountain. The disciples follow, sit at his feet, and out come the blessings. Those who are poor in spirit, those who mourn, the meek, those who hunger for justice, the righteousness Jesus leans into, those who are merciful, those who have pure hearts, those who are peacemakers, those who face pushback for all these prior attributes and continue to work for God nonetheless, the reward is heavenly. When Jesus spoke of heaven, frequently the narrative was talking about the very here and now, the present. Not some place that we go off to because we've been so good and we've earned our ticket being punched by St. Peter at a pearly gate. But right now, it's in this moment that Jesus calls us into these blessings. Imagine a place that could exist in peace, shalom, what I've mentioned before, a place that has the absence of lack. Right here, among us, with us. Imagine what that would look like just for a moment. What do you see? What do you see around you in your community, in the nation? What shifts when peace, the absence of lack, is fully present? Late Hebrew Testament theologian Walter Brueggemann wrote extensively about the prophetic imagination. We heard quite a bit of his words during the Advent season. And you'll probably hear a little bit more as we approach Lent too. Talking about how the prophets were inspired by God, received God's breath in spirit, which is what inspired meant. As Father Richard Rohr points out in his book, The Tears of Things, their visions rose from being inspired. And their dreams, their visions were always aimed at the communities they served, never at anybody else, but right with the community that they served, the Israelites. In this moment with Jesus and his disciples, we see the same thing. He does not share these blessings, but with his crowd, his community, inviting them into prophetic imagination. Let me invite you into imagining these blessings just one more time. You who are poor in spirit, you who mourn, you who are meek, you who hunger for justice, you who are merciful, you who have depth of integrity, pure heart, you who work toward peace, and you who face pushback because you want peace to exist. Blessed are you. Again, how does that look in today's world? How could we embody these elements to bring heaven to earth? Last Wednesday night, I presented to an Aquinas College master's level class called Ethics in Leadership that one of my dear friends teaches. She is an ombudsperson for Michigan State University and teaches this class adjunct for Aquinas College. She's a brilliant mind. And if you know anything about what the ombudsperson does, they are the mediator in between student body and staff for things like if you disagree with a grade, those kind of things, you go see this person, and then they help mediate. We introduced ourselves. I gave a short presentation about what I do in my career as a pastor and the things that I hold in high value, personal integrity, accountability, maintaining healthy boundaries, a sense of humor not poisoned by too much cynicism, looking out for the welfare of others, the strangers in our midst. And these combined create a sense of ethics and the heavenly ethos applicable for us today. And that's what I wanted to present to this class. And then they introduce themselves to me. And Aquinas College has a career program that is sports management. And I remember this from last year presenting to the same class that about half the class was weighted in this category. They were pursuing a degree in sports management. And whenever I think of sports management, I think of one of my former youth kids from Fort Morgan, Colorado, Ryan Jensen. You might remember Ryan Red Jensen as the football player who got his career start at the Baltimore Ravens right after the NFL draft in 2013. And then after a 4 or 5 year, the Ravens, he made ESPN because somebody hit Joe Flacco in the late hit. And in comes Ryan Jensen and clocks this guy, knocks off his helmet. I think it was a Dallas Cowboys person. They haven't been the same since. And then Ryan all of a sudden started getting all this notoriety, and then he was traded to the Tampa Bay Buccaneers, where eventually he hiked the ball to Tom Brady and won a Super Bowl. Before Tom Brady became a part of that team, Ryan's contract was in the top 5 of the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. Before Tom Brady came in with a few other notables. His agent, a gentleman by the name of Mike McCartney, also, by the way, who represents Aiden Hutchinson for the Detroit Lions, his agent negotiated contracts over an 8.5-year period. He spent 10 years in the NFL, but over an 8.5-year period, Ryan Jensen accumulated roughly $72 million. And I keep thinking to myself, what if Mike McCartney were a part of our personnel team? I'm just kidding. Just kidding. It wouldn't go that way. Next week, we'll talk about fundraising for a Learjet for your pastor. No, just kidding. You might be wondering, Greg, where are you going with this? Let me tell you. I've been scouring scriptures for years and have yet to find a blessing for the astute wealthy. I haven't. Because there isn't one. And one of the things I wanted to give to this leadership course at Aquinas was to understand that yes, you do need to make a living to make ends meet. I get that. As a single parent, living as a single parent, one income, it's difficult. I get it. However, if you're in it just because you see dollar signs, life will not be blessed. You're just going to continue to see dollar signs upon dollar signs upon dollar signs. Because there is no healthy ethic in leadership that supports egregious hoarding of money. It is my firm belief the world doesn't need billionaires. And yes, that includes Taylor Swift. I'm a Swiftie. Taylor, if you're watching this now, where's the camera? Give it up. Donate, perhaps, to St. Thomas. Okay. Just saying. Could do a lot of peacemaking. The prophetic imagination is a turning away from the normal reactive measures into an authentically creative way to disarm chaos, war, strife, evil. We realize that Marvel and DC comic book movies, their heroes are all fictional, and their methods of peacemaking are also through violence. This is a lack of imagination. Violence begets violence, begets violence. It's a cyclical process that prophetic imagination wants to interrupt. If we want to imagine heaven here on earth, it is up to us first to use our imagination to try things in different ways. I often recount Thomas Edison and the invention of the light bulb. One success, but how many failures? Thousands. And we learn from each one. Yes, there is a risk into trying new things, to doing something different. Eventually, when you throw that pasta at the wall, it will stick. Use your imagination. Try things in different ways. And my friends, let me bring you comfort by saying that this will upset you. That sounds weird, doesn't it? Let me bring you comfort by saying this is going to upset you. Doing new things will upset you. Just as I can think of more than a dozen ways that it would be uncomfortable for me to do new things. Ask yourself this question. Yes. Will that stop you? Will that stop you from proceeding? My friends, there are blessings ahead. It is up to our imagination to bring them all to fruition. In the name of Jesus Christ, amen.